Obadiah. I'm going to read the whole book. It's only one chapter long, 21 verses. So please follow. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We've heard a report from the Lord that a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up. Let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock and your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If great gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crosswords to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Those of the Negev shall possess Mount Esau, and those of the Shephelah shall possess the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of this host of the people of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. And the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the Negev. Saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's ask his blessing on the teaching today. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of studying another Old Testament prophet and his message to the nations at that time. Lord, this message is relevant to us, important to us. We need to know your word, Lord. We need to learn from your word. And so we ask you to bless and guide today as we study together. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The book of Obadiah, the shortest book in the Old Testament. But its message is powerful. It's crucial. It's as fresh and relevant today as it was 2,600 years ago when it was first delivered. You notice that in verse 1, we read, it says, "The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom." So this is a prophecy about a specific place, a specific people called Edom. What is Edom? Well, Edom is a derivation of Esau, the firstborn son of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau actually means red. I believe Esau had red hair. And he had a twin brother that was born just minutes after Esau was born. His name was Jacob. And before these two twins were ever born, the Lord gave a prophecy saying that the second-born son, Jacob, would have prominence over the first-born son, Esau. Well, Jacob turned out to be a rather crafty fellow, a scheming fellow, and he managed to cheat his brother out of his blessing and out of his birthright. And so there was a lifelong animosity between these two brothers. But as it turned out, Jacob had a conversion. He became a spiritual man. Remember? And I believe it's Genesis 28. He wrestled with the Lord all night. And the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Well, Esau, however, never became a spiritual person. In fact, he was unspiritual. He was profane. We read in the New Testament about him. Hebrews 12:16 says, "See to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." That's what he did. For a bowl of porridge, or I forget exactly what it was, but he was famished, and so he sold his birthright for a single meal. Well, Esau left the family unit, and he went off to an area south of Jerusalem toward the direction of Egypt. And I actually have a map here to kind of give you an idea. This area called Edom. Here's Jerusalem right here. Of course, this is the Mediterranean Sea, the Dead Sea. So down here, the name was later changed to Edomia during the days of the New Testament. So this is Edom. A lot of mountains in there, a lot of deserts, a lot of steep cliffs and so forth. Well, some of these mountainous areas made natural fortresses, especially for their capital city, which was high up in the mountains. And to get to it, you had to go through like almost like a tunnel. And so the city could be defended by just a dozen men. It was almost impregnable. And so it gave these people, these Edomites, a sense of invulnerability. Nobody can touch us. And so they felt safe and secure. And they turned up their noses at other nations. "Y'all can't touch us. We're impregnable." Well, that was their attitude. Well, as the relationship between the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau, they made contact in the future. You remember that after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. Because they refused to go into the promised land. But at one point, we read it this morning from Numbers 20, they came up to the border of Edom as they were on their way to the promised land. And they sent a message to the king of Edom. This is Numbers 20, verse 14. Thus says your brother Israel. You see, they still considered them brothers and kinsmen. You know all the hardships we have met, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians dealt harshly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please, let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We'll go along the king's highway. We'll not turn aside to the right hand or the left hand until we've passed through your territory. But Edom said to him, you shall not pass through, lest I come out with a sword against you. And the people of Israel said to him, we will go up by the highway, and if we drink your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Only let me pass through on foot, nothing more. But he said, he represents the king and the people speaking to the Hebrews, but he said, you shall not pass through. And Edom came out against them with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. So, you see, there's nothing but hatred here of Edom for Israel. They weren't going to hurt their land. They weren't going to destroy anything. They only asked for reasonable permission to pass through their land. But they refused. Well, during the days of Christ's ministry, several hundred years later, the name of Edom became Idumea. And the people from that area were called Idumeans. In fact, King Herod, during the time of Christ's birth, was an Idumean. Now, here we have Jesus, the newborn infant son, a descendant of Jacob, and the descendant of Esau, Herod, were in conflict. At least Herod tried to kill the newborn king of the Jews. So you see, this conflict lasted for centuries, and it has messianic repercussions here. Evil against good. Forces of Satan against the forces of Yahweh. So this whole concept of Edomites, descendants of Esau, is quite important in the scriptures. David, during his reign, King David had some military conflicts with the Edomites. And all through the prophets, several of the prophets speak of the Edomites and their cruelty to the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel. So what this nation did, now, there's even a greater evil they poured out against Israel, and that was what we're going to study about today also, is when Jerusalem was falling to King Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army. They assisted the Babylonian army in subduing and conquering Jerusalem. So they were in line with the enemies of Israel. So what they did was infamous and was never forgotten. Many of the prophets speak about this. Ezekiel, Isaiah, the Psalms, Malachi. So it was a very significant historical situation. The Edomites opposed to Israel. So the book of Obadiah brings us face to face with the age-old conflict of evil against good. And it teaches us about some important events in Old Testament history and some important truths in the overall message of the Bible. Jesus was a Judean, a descendant of David, Savior of the world, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the Edomites tried to impede the progress of the Hebrew nation on the way to the promised land that God had given them. They tried to interfere in Yahweh's plans for his people. And then, as I mentioned, they assisted the Babylonian army in the sacking of Jerusalem in the year 587 BC. It was a terrible thing that happened when the city fell to the Babylonians. Listen to this excerpt from 2 Chronicles 36, beginning verse 17. It says, Yahweh brought up against Jerusalem the king of the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of the Lord, this is the temple, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these Nebuchadnezzar brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God. They burned the temple. And broke down the wall of Jerusalem. Complete destruction. Burned all of its palaces with fire. Destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword. And they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, who conquered the Babylonians. Why did all this happen? It says right here, verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to full 70 years. Well, the overrunning, the destruction of Jerusalem was supported by the Edomites. They were on the sidelines, cheering on the Babylonian army. They were even apprehending people who were escaping from the slaughter in Jerusalem as they tried to flee and escape and hiding through the city. They would catch them and bring them back to the Babylonians. The Edomites were doing this. We read in verse 14 of Obadiah. This was the word to Edom. The Lord speaking to Edom. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. This is talking about the fall of Babylon. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. That's what they were doing. Well, if you look here at the book of Obadiah in your ESV translation there, you see that it's divided into four sections. And I want to kind of quickly go through an overview of these four sections, which contain the main ideas in the book. So the first section is verses 1 through 9. Here's the main idea as I see it. Edom's pride will lead to her downfall. So this was future. When the prophecy was being given, she hadn't been destroyed yet. So verse 3 captures the essence of the Edomites' attitude. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwellings, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Well, the Lord brought him down. He brought him down. It was a hard fall. It says in verse 4, From there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. The Lord is in all of these events. He's behind the scene directing things that were happening, as he does today. So they were afflicted with the age-old spiritual disease that we all suffer from, is pride. What is pride? Well, it's self-exaltation, self-magnification, self-importance, one of the fundamental sins of humanity. Remember, this is evidently what led to Satan's fall. When he rebelled against God, which we read about in Isaiah 14:14, Satan says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. He was jealous of God's power and authority. He wanted to be in that position. That was the downfall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan came to them and said, go ahead, go eat of that tree. And you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. So he's appealing to their pride. Well, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That is so true. It's worked out in many situations, many human lives. Pride causes us all to stumble. The opposite of pride is humility. That's what we need, is humility before God and before people. One of the greatest examples of pride that we see in the Bible is King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians. We read about it in Daniel 4, verse 29. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's walking out on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon. And he looked over the city and he said, is not this great Babylon, which I built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While his words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Well, that's what happened. He crawled on his hands and knees and he ate grass like a cow. At the end of the days, it says in verse 34 of Daniel, here's Nebuchadnezzar speaking. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever and ever. Listen to his testimony after God humbled him. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none shall stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Well, Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson well. He learned who was in control of the affairs of earth. It wasn't him. It was the almighty, eternal God. But you see, the Edomites never learned this lesson. They were always proud of themselves. And what was God's response to them? Well, we read in Obadiah. He says, Though you soar aloft like the eagle, this is God speaking to Edom, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. He did bring them down. The Babylonian army that conquered Jerusalem also conquered Edom. Verse 6 of Obadiah says this, how Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. Well, that's the first section. The next section is verses 10 through 14. Edom's guilt lay in supporting Jerusalem's destruction. She was so guilty of this great sin. Look at verses 10 and 11. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. Completely in partnership with evil, the Edomites supported the Babylonians and their slaughter of the people in Jerusalem. When the Babylonian army entered the city, there was famine in the streets. The place was about to collapse from no food. They'd been under siege. Well, so Edom's guilt, the Lord is charging this, reminding them that they supported Jerusalem's destruction. Now, in Psalm 137, verse 7, here's a very interesting and telling statement. It says, we read that earlier, "Remember, O God, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundation." These are the Edomites calling out to the Babylonian soldiers, "Lay it bare, destroy the city, kill the people, wipe it off the face of the earth." And so the psalmist is saying, "Oh Lord, Yahweh, remember what the Edomites did against Jerusalem. They called for the city to be razed, to be burned, for all the walls to be knocked down, the temple to be dismantled." Well, this was Edom's sin. And the third section, verses 15 through 18, we see that God's judgment will fall not only on Edom, but on all nations for their evil deeds. But there's hope. There's escape for those who come to Mount Zion. You see, verse 15, "The day of the Lord is near upon all the nations." The day of the Lord in the Old Testament is a reference to the fulfillment of God's prophecies at the end of the present age, the judgment of evil, the coming of the Messiah, the ushering in of the eternal kingdom of peace and joy and righteousness. But verse 15 says, here's the indictment against the nations: "As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head." This is the indictment brought against the nations. You know, I'll give you an example of this, of your deeds shall return on your own head. You remember that the Egyptian Pharaoh decreed, passed a law that all the male Jewish children, Hebrew children, should be drowned because they were getting too numerous. They wanted to reduce the population. That was their decree. They wanted to murder all the little baby boys. But what happened some years later? One of these little boys survived. His name was Moses. And he led the people out. And the Pharaoh and his whole army, they were drowned. What they tried to do to the Hebrew children came upon their own heads. And they were drowned. And so the word of the Lord was fulfilled: "As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head." Well, but what does it say in verse 17? But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. So Mount Zion is a reference to Jerusalem, and it's a reference to the temple there. It's a reference to the place where God dwells with his people, Mount Zion. The temple was there. The presence of God was in the temple. The people would come to worship. So this whole concept of Zion indicates a place where Yahweh is in the presence of his people. If we go to the presence of Yahweh, there's escape from the judgment to come. It shall be a holy place, a place separated from the sin and evil of the world. But, as it says at the end of verse 18, there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. So there's great contrast here. Those who go to Zion, to the presence of the Lord, shall escape the judgment. But those who refuse to, the unspiritual, the profane, the ungodly, the people of Esau, there shall be no survivors for them. Well, the last section is verses 19 through 21. And here we see that it's the Lord's kingdom and his people alone who will ultimately possess the earth. And so we read in here about these different places. Basically, it seems to be saying that the people of God will possess the lands that were formerly under the rulership of pagan peoples and pagan nations. And it says in verse 21, saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau. Some scholars think saviors here is a reference really to the book of Judges, different godly leaders who will lead the people of God. And the kingdom shall be the Lord. So this statement here, the last statement in the book, I think is very significant. When all is said and done, when evil has been judged, when God's people, by his grace, are able to escape into his presence, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. His kingdom shall come upon the earth. The Edomites suffered great judgment. But you know, there's hope even for the Edomites. As they were known in Jesus' day, the Edomians. Listen to this passage from Mark 3, verse 7 and 8, regarding Christ's ministry. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. So there were some in this great crowd who were from Idumea, from Edom. So those who came and escaped to Zion, coming to the presence of Jesus Christ, were able to be saved and delivered from the judgment that would come upon all nations. So there's this interesting little statement there in Mark chapter 3. Among the great crowds who came to hear the Messiah preaching and healing were some Edomians. Well, there's one great truth that stands out, as it does in many of the prophets, and that there's a day of the Lord coming. There's judgment day coming when evil people will reap their just rewards, but those who've been blessed by the grace of God will come into his presence to live with him. The only way that that can happen is if we escape the judgment by running to Christ and taking Him as our Lord and Savior. This is the only hope for the peoples of the world. So we who have been blessed by the grace of God to trust in Christ must preach the gospel and warn others to flee the wrath to come and accept the Savior. One of the great sins that we see brought out in this book is the sin of pride. The Edomites were so secure in their own position high up in the mountains that they didn't think anybody could touch them. They were proud of their location. They were proud of their wisdom. But it brought them down. And it always brings people down. So we need to be careful about pride. We Christians are not exempt from being tempted by pride or falling prey to it. So let's try to clothe ourselves with humility rather than with arrogance and pride. You know, when Cain killed Abel, back in the early pages of Genesis, the Lord confronted him and he said, Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, yes, we are our brother's keeper. But Edom was not his brother's keeper. He was more like Cain. Tried to slaughter his brother, tried to slaughter the Judeans, the Hebrews, the Jerusalem dwellers. And so we need to be protectors of life, preservers of life, and not destroyers of life. You know, one of the great sins of these Edomites is they had no human pity. They had no pity. Mm-hmm. It says this: they had no pity upon their brothers. That really reveals their heart. When a person has no human pity for those who are suffering, there's something drastically wrong. They're in line with evil and Satan, who's the father of lies and the murderer. The last sentence of Obadiah says, "The kingdom shall be the Lord's." So the final great message in Obadiah is that God's kingdom will triumph at last. And that's true. Even today, when we see evil forces arising on many hands, in the end, it's God's kingdom that will triumph and that will last. And we who have been blessed by hearing the gospel, receiving the gospel as the Holy Spirit worked in our lives, enabling us to trust in Christ, are part of Christ's kingdom. So let us continue to serve the Lord Christ and promote His kingdom on the earth, to fight spiritual battles against evil with the weapons of prayer and the Word of God and the Christian fellowship of the church. Obadiah is the man who trusted in the Lord. Let us trust in the Lord also. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for this prophecy which condemns the evil of the Edomites, but shows the way of escape by coming into your presence. We thank you, Lord, that the final victory will be yours, that the kingdom will belong to you, O Lord, and your glory and your name will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Glory be to you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.